to give us an opportunity to receive briefings from the research team consisting of the committee researcher and content advisor. That is the main purpose why we are here today. We have an agenda which I believe has been circulated. Without much ado, may I declare this meeting officially opened? And in terms of the agenda, are we okay?
Okay.
We're fine. Okay, agenda is agreed to. Apologies, there are quite a number of colleagues who are not here because of other commitments in terms of meetings that they are attending. Honorable September, Honorable Waters, Honorable Mende, Honorable Coleman, and Honorable Singh. These are members who have tendered their apologies. Do we have any other apologies other than this one?
Just Mr. Sheikh Imam and Ms. Motara.
Okay. So those are two additional apologies that have been received. I guess we don't have a choice but to accept the apologies. Are they accepted, colleagues?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Welcome. So as indicated, I mean, the purpose of this meeting is for us to receive a briefing. We are not here to necessarily take decisions. Decisions can only be taken in our next meeting. So we're here to, as I've indicated, to receive those briefings by the two, what do you call, team members, support team members, Mr. Nhlekiso and Mr. Mtlai. Mtlaji. Yes, that's a name, it's very difficult. I'm from Limpopo, so my... Okay, so without much ado, may I request the committee researcher, Mr. Nhlekiso, to take us through in terms of his briefing. Over to you.
Good afternoon, honorable members. If we recall, we have about four sets of reports that we need to brief you on. But I will try to look at two reports. We have a first quarter report, the second quarter report, the midterm report, and the third quarter report. But all these reports, they have related issues. But if I can present in all of them, it can be just confusing or be a repetitive of issues, yes. So, but in all the papers that I submitted, in the last section, I have the section that says issues to be considered by the committee. It's where I summarized all the issues in those reports. If you look at them, you can see that they are mostly related. Yes, but the main issues that I want to highlight today is only on financial performance of Parliament, not the non-financial performance. I think the content advisor will dwell much on the non-performance information. So one issue that is very important that we highlighted is that Parliament has been underspending on compensation, overspending and underspending on compensation of employees. But also they claim that they are using the zero-based budgeting. When you use the zero-based budgeting, it's unlikely that you can have significant underspending and overspending. But it shows that that method that they are using of budgeting, it doesn't work for them. Because they say they apply that method when they budget for each quarter. This is the budget for each quarter. you can see that the figures that they underspend or overspend by is too much, is significant. So the other issue that they raised in the first quarter report, there was an erroneous journal entry they had in the previous year, in 2017-18, which was reversed in the first quarter in 2018-19. Then it had an impact also on underspending in Parliament's budget in the first quarter. So also there is another issue that they pay also the invoices that were incurred in the previous quarter, but in the next quarter sometimes, which means in that case they are not using the accrual system. The accrual system is the one that they use when they report on the annual report. Accrual system would say you should not pay the, you should also recognize the all the transactions that were incurred during the particular period. You, they cannot go over to the next period. But Parliament, what they did, if, for example, the invoices were delayed in the first quarter, they would pay those invoices in the budget of the second quarter. So which means you cannot manage the budget very well. The quarter might be, the quarterly budget might be overspent because it, those invoices were not considered when they were budgeting for that particular quarter. Which means now what I will try to raise here is that they should apply the accrual accounting system that says all the invoices that were incurred in a particular quarter must be recognized in that quarter, even if it's at the end of the quarter and they are still outstanding, they have not been paid. So the money that was committed for those invoices, it must also remain in that quarter. They cannot pay them in the budget of the next quarter. So they should correct that, because when you come to account, they will show the underspending or overspending. Or it could be that why they have significant underspending and overspending, it's because also, it's not because that they are not applying the zero-based budgeting. Also, it's because that they pay invoices that they didn't budget for in a particular quarter. So those issues, I think they are very important in the financial performance. There are those few issues. But otherwise, they are spending well in terms of the goods and services. They have spent very well, but the issue is in the compensation of employees. Yes, I'm done, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and good afternoon to members. I'll just touch to the mid-term report, which is, I think, one of the key reports as per the legislation, the Financial Management of Parliament. We're supposed to consider this report as per the requirement of the Act. And also touch simultaneously with the third quarter. I think they are the key, because actually the first quarter and second would be a waste of time, because mid-term report is there. It's just mid-term report and going forward with the third quarter. Yeah, but when I'm presenting, I'll accommodate them. I'll just touch on both of them at the same time with those issues that I'm going to highlight. Actually, my report is just highlighting some anomaly issues or some key significant anomaly issues. For example, the mid-term, there's a report here that it was submitted some time ago. This is not the one on this channel. It's just a black, but to me it's colored, unfortunately. Yeah, sure. It was just a summary that table was, I was just summarizing what they have been taking place, which Mr. Shege has already covered, but I wanted to touch on that summary. For example, if you look on those programs, they are normally in terms of variances, significant variances. Number one, the significant variance in the program number one, which is strategic leadership and governance. There's a significant variance in program two, which is administration. Also, there's a significant variance in program five, which is associated services, where your entitlement sits, your members' entitlement and political party funding transfers sit on the program five. When I'm going further, I'll discuss what is the purpose, what is the reason. Is associated services significant variance? Look at the budget was, it is a significant of the over expenditure of 8.347 million associated services. Do you see now? Yeah. Oh, yes, the last column is percentage-wise, over or under expenditure. Yes. Yeah, it's only 1%, but I will highlight this. It's significant going forward, third, fourth. But 8 million, it's not 1%, but 8 million is a lot. Okay, what is happening is that on the second quarter, the total spending, was the percentage was, they spent about 47% on the second quarter. And then on the third quarter, the spending is to the 72% of the total budget of $2 billion. So it was a fair spending, I would say so. But here are the issues that I've identified, for example. For example, under program one, you see that I've just said that there was this significant underspending of almost 4%, yeah. But yeah, what are the reasons for that underspending? I don't know the reason. They were not been provided. But what is funny here is that when you look at the targets that were achieved, they overachieved by, I don't know, whatever, because they targeted to achieve 12 analytical reports, but they achieved 15 analytical reports. So they've overachieved by almost 120% achievement, of which they've underspent. We have always talked about this thing of lack of correlation between spending and targets. So you spend, you underspend, but you overachieved. I don't know, but maybe there can be, there could be explanation, but normally what is expected in the principle is that because funds follow function, whatever you achieve, you should be the whatever you spend. But I don't know what could be the reason. But one of the reasons, Chair, that we always see, we always consistent ever since we started here, is that I raise this issue. I have got a problem with the measuring. In fact, I raised this issue the previous term. I think Honorable Waters was keen on this thing. To the way that Parliament has been measured, where there are divisions which doesn't have targets, and even those programs, you find that, for example, look at Program 1, it's called Strategic Leadership and Governance. There is only one key performance indicator that measures Strategic Leadership and Governance. What is that key performance indicator? Is the number of analytical reports. What is that? Listen to me carefully. There's a program called Strategic Leadership and Governance, and there are sub-program that sits there or division. It's the office, it's a Speaker's office, it's a National Chairperson's office, it's a PPO, it's a office supporting institution, office supporting democratic institution. These are the four sub-program or division that sits under this program called Leadership and Governance. And listen, what is the key output? What all this program or this division aim to achieve? There's one key performance indicator measure this program, which is called number of analytical reports per year. So once they've got 12 number of analytical reports, 15 number of analytical reports, in fact, number of analytical reports, which are coming from PBU, office of the speaker, national chairperson, office supporting democracy issues are not measured. So that's why they just walk. It's a walk on the wrist. It's a walk. That's why they achieve overachievement. There's this non-correlation between spending and an achievement. So there's something wrong. We've always been consistent on this thing that the way that parliament is measured is not holistically measured. As a result, we end up getting this such kind of funny outcomes at the end of the way. You have got overachievement, but spending is very low. What is that? What can explain that? And the another one is the program two. In program two, of course, as I said, that there was the underspending. There's also significant variance, which was 6%. What causes that? You find in this one, most of the sub-program, most secretary's office and internal audit strategy management and governance register members' interests. If you look at page 3 now, they are overspending. But there's only one sub-program called legislative sector support, which is underspending. And then at the end of the day, that sub-program affect others and then contributed to the underspending under this program administration. The reason that they've given is that there was a cancellation of or changes in the strategy, in the training, in the legislative sector. You see, the legislative sector, all the sector, including all the provincial legislatures. So there was going to be a planned training. I'm not sure what kind of a training, but that training has been changing. So there was no expenditure for that particular training, for that particular budget that was budgeted to train legislatures, all legislatures. So that's the reason why they have significant underspending. But funny enough is that on the third quarter, they're still underspending, and in particularly basically, specifically for this legislative sector support. And then the reason now, they said no, they've postponed to the fourth quarter this training. Also, what is much funny is that when they projected the spending over the year, over this annual report, over this financial year, they projected to underspend. If you look, I think slide number 18 of the presentation that they gave to us, I'm not sure why we have in the slide 18 of this. They said then this legislative sector, I think they spend 43% in this slide 18 of this third quarter that they give us, the third quarter presentation, 18, slide number, I think line number 18 is, yes, I think we've got it. Did you get it? Yeah, slide number 18, yeah, administration, no, slide number 18, yeah, program 2. Yeah? Yeah, 3.5, yes. Look at it, that's why I'm saying that, bear in mind, in program 2, I mean in mid-term, that is for quarter 1 and quarter 2, they have significant underspending under legislative sector support. And then the reason they say they're going to change there are changes in the training that they've planned for legislative sector support. Look there, the legislative sector support, which is a sub-program, number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, before projects. Now, look at what happened in the third quarter now. Second quarter, we record in the medium that they underspent. Third quarter, they also significantly underspent. They just spent 27%. Now, the reason that they give, at the bottom, the last thing they said, they projected underspend is due to cancellation of meetings as well, postponement of sector training, which will happen during the fourth quarter. That is the reason at the last sentence. But my also problem that I'm raising, if you go again to the table, look at the projections, if they're here to date, there's a percentage at the end. That those percentages is what they are projecting to spend at the end of the annual year now. It's what they are expected to spend. At the end of the annual year, that is 2017-18, is projected to spend 43%. So there is no there's no sense here. You said I didn't spend this to this second quarter and third quarter because I postponed the spending for the fourth quarter. Yet, on the same time, you are still saying that at the end of the year, I'm still not going to spend. What is it? Because in a layman's language, I didn't spend on the first quarter. I'm asking you. In the first quarter and second quarter, I didn't spend because there were changes in the training. Then here come on the third quarter. What happened in the spending in this program in the third quarter? No, I postponed the spending to the fourth quarter. That's what you answer. Then again, what do we expect to spend at the end of the year? No, I'm going to spend 43%. Why? Because you said to postpone to the fourth quarter. Why? Something doesn't give a sense here. So there's another thing that happened in the for the second quarter, third quarter, and administration. This thing of explanation given in terms of motivating why there was no spending. That non-financial information the Mr. Six talk about that I'm going to touch upon. And on the fourth quarter, one of the things that they managed to achieve on the second quarter, there is one of the, I think there was this financial the financial management, there's a bill, I think there's an amendment, but it was first time to hear this thing, that there's a financial management of parliament legislation bill that has been tabled before the standing committee on finance. I'm not sure whether they are amending something like that across those lines. But nonetheless, fourth program, that is on page 4, on the program 4. In program 4, they're in terms of payout targets, they've got annual targets. They don't have quarterly targets. We've been constantly criticizing them about this thing. I think it's one of the things that's supposed to go to legacy report. I forget that thing. Because in the strategic plan, they've got annual targets of which they agreed that they can measure the targets quarterly based on the milestone, but they're still consistent and continuing giving us these annual targets. But in under, so I cannot say much about what were the performance in the fourth quarter other than to say there were key issues, two issues that I've identified there, that for example they reported that as end of 31st May September, only 84% of the staff of parliament, everyone is required to sign performance agreement. That signed performance agreement. Another, which is 16%, I don't know what happened. But that is very dangerous because it's a contravention of the policy on performance management of parliament, that all employees are supposed to sign performance contract. And it is also linked at the end of the, how they are going to be measured, the performance, because the individual performance is linked to the organizational performance. So without being measured, without measuring the individual performance, which is linked to the organizational performance, how is the expecting organization to perform while there's no proper monitoring or measure of individual performances? So it's very, I don't know what happened or what is the current situation now, whether those outstanding employees have already signed those performance agreements or contracts that they've highlighted has not been signed here. And last, then program 5, which is associated services. Yeah, the issue is that there is these transfers on political parties represented in parliament. I think this issue was raised in the previous meeting by members. They were concerned about this. Here, it is projected that currently, on the second quarter, the spending is 50%. In the third quarter, the spending is 80%. It's about to be exhausted, the funds earmarked or budgeted for transfer of political party funding. Political parties represented in parliament. Now, it is projected that it's going to overspend by 4 million at the end of the year. And now the problem that Parliament is currently having is that this money, they don't have the money to defray that particular overspending. Because almost over the four previous financial years, this transfer to political parties representing Parliament, the budget has been kept low, and it has kept, they will keep on budgeting, I mean financing through the unspent funds that Parliament has. As we know that according to the financial management of Parliament, the unspent fund that Parliament have is not, they are not supposed to roll over to or give them to the National Revenue Fund, but to retain those unspent funds. So what they did, they just take those unspent funds and fund this political party funding representing Parliament. But unfortunately, that money have exhausted, because those unspent funds that Parliament, that savings Parliament did normally have, they are exhausted. What they said now, they said they're going to take, as Mr. Kenneth said, that for example, under Commerce of Employees, they were underspending all the quotas. The underspending currently amounting to 13.4 million. So they said they're going to take, they're going to do what's called as vireament or shifting of funds, as per the Section 22 of this Act. So they're going to take that 13 million, which was unspent funds from Commerce of Employees, due to resignation and the filling of vacant positions, not filling of the vacant positions. So the amount that was left or was not spent from Commerce of Employees was 13.4 million. So that's, and they're going to take that 13.4 million and defray this overspending that happened into the transfers of political party funding, political parties represented in Parliament. So that's what they are proposing. And lastly, I think I repeat, this thing was a issue, because it's not like the only, there are programs or budget, I mean there are programs that most projects are programs that also encounter the same problem in Parliament. We highlighted sometime, for example, the PPO, the institution supporting Democrats, Office of the Institution Supporting Democrats, to make, I mean this one, they are not funding through the Parliament, through the fiscals, but through the unspent funds. We still record that thing, and then we recommended in one of the reports that let Treasury fund these things. So now we have got this one. This one is funding through the parliamentary, through the fiscals, but the money is not adequately. So they took money from these unspent funds savings and finance the deficit, the shortfall. So you take this money, you still have your PPO, you still have your Office Supporting Democrats, which also struggling to get money. I'm not saying that you weigh the importance and priorities, but that is a decision that they've been taking. I think it's the end, Chair. I mean, other than those issues that are common issues that we always raised, like when we've got divisions that are not measured, sub-programs are not measured, and also annual targets. We constantly saying, I cannot repeat myself in motivating these things. We said it, I mean, mouthfully, and then I also raise them. It's always, each and every hour report, we always raise these issues. So, thank you.
Thanks again for that presentation. Members, are there input questions from your side? Honorable Stenhisen.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think we can honestly say, I think this committee has failed in its responsibilities and duties, to be honest with you, if you look at this report. Because, frankly, many of the issues that are raised, certainly in the third quarter report, were flagged last year, during the course of last year, and again at the beginning of this year, and you know these things have not been met or implemented. I think it would be very useful to get a table of the committee resolutions taken as a result of our reports and tabulate them next to whether they've actually been implemented or not. And I think it would make a very interesting table to look at, because we keep coming back here and we keep repeating the same things around underspending, overspending, which particular offices. And I'm really amazed that the OISD office gets, you know, says that they've performed well. I've raised on numerous occasions with the speaker, with the deputy speaker in programming and the chief ops forum that OISD fails even its most basic responsibilities to table reports of institutions supporting democracy in Parliament. And we have to go looking for 6 Human Rights Commission reports and they'd been lying here in Parliament, tabled with the office, but not tabled in the legislature. And that's, you can't say you're performing if that's the sort of thing that's there. There doesn't seem to be any consequences for departments. We've made a very specific recommendation around performance agreements. It was brought to light that the then Secretary to Parliament had not signed a performance agreement with Parliament. And the committee was very specific at that time that every employee, from the Secretary downwards, has to have a signed performance agreement. And yet we now sit here with a... And it has to be done by a specific date. I think it's 1 April, if I remember correctly. Well, he was due to have this done by 1 April. But, you know, we can't have a situation where employees in our parliamentary operation in this administration don't have performance agreements. How do you measure them? How do you hold them accountable? Even if they don't perform, and then at the end of the year you go to them and say, well, you haven't performed, well, they say, well, against what? Against what have I not performed? You know, how do you assess them for bonuses if they don't have a performance agreement in place? Are we paying bonuses to employees who've had no performance agreements in place? How are they measured? There's just too many holes, and I think this committee's directions and suggestions and recommendations have been ignored on the whole, and something the sixth parliament's going to have to grapple with. But we can't carry on like this with an institution which is holding government departments accountable and other entities accountable, but is not prepared to be held accountable in the same way they expect us to hold other departments accountable. It's just not sustainable.
Thank you, Honourable Isaac. Over to you.
Chair, yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just as a follow-up then to what Honourable Steenhuisen has just mentioned, is that if you look at the report or the documents in front of us, and the last page, and you clearly point out in the middle of the paragraph where you say, and building on what Honourable Steenhuisen has just said, for example, if a performance target is a final report. Then you go on to explain that there are key milestones to complete a final report, such as determining the structure of the report, etc., etc. Now, based on what Honorable Steenhuisen has just said, what examples are there of this performance target being a final report if these key milestones
are not there?
I think it's something that we really need to take cognizance of and maybe have to address seriously. Thanks, Chair.
Sure. Honorable Dipia?
Chair, listening to the analysis, and we're heading now to the end of the first parliament, we took a decision, I think in 2017, that the Treasury office must be opened in Parliament. It was an outstanding matter for years. Just go back to the minutes. And that's my question. Has it been opened? Why? To give guidance in terms of the Treasury regulations, blah, 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 how to do reporting, looking at performance, because there's a performance tool that you use to measure. It exists. Now the question is, has this office been opened? Because that's the function. I don't know. I'm putting this on the table because it's something that we have to follow up. Was it done? Because it was a decision of this committee. Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, Honorable Dipia. Honorable Masando?
It's a slightly different issue. I just want to get a sense of the legacy report and the matters that we are putting forward to be looked at by the new parliament. Is there a high-level summary report that's available?
I think that is a question. Cindy, do you want?
Yes, Mr. Masunda, we drafted one that was distributed to members last year, but then we amended it today and we sent it to members again today because we just took out all the unnecessary information so that it's a summary. And at the end of that report, we summarize the committee's recommendations to the Sixth Parliament.
Okay, are you answered, Honorable Masando? Okay. Are there further inputs, colleagues? I think
I'll probably have to ask it of the secretary when she comes in. But how do you overspend on the representative political parties fund? Because it's usually a fixed amount that you know what it is. I mean, we haven't changed. There's no new parties in Parliament. 13 parties. We know what they're entitled to in terms of the percentage. How do you overspend on that? It doesn't make sense to me.
Okay. Do you want to come back and maybe just respond to some of the questions, inputs made?
Okay, Chair. Let me start. I think since they've clarified, the legal is still on the way. They have sent, Honorable Masondi, it was sent today, the updated version, but it's not going to be considered today, I think for next week. With regard to Treasurer Advice Office, it's correct, Honorable Divyeri, have been commenting all its reports, have been consistently saying, recommending on that. But I'm not sure whether it has been established. I mean, because we recommended the last one that there should be one party. But at some stage, sometime towards the end of the year, I saw some advert for someone to... that will work on that office, but I don't know how far would they progress in terms of that. You see, I'm not sure even myself this one for Honorable Steenhuisen, but actually what they said is that they overspend because the thing is that you said the budget is 4 million. I mean, an example. A particular year, the budget was 438 million. But from this 438, they didn't have the cash, I mean, the real money to finance this 438 million. Ne? Now, because, let's say, the real cash that they have was, I don't know how much, but it was that money that they were having, which is lesser than 438 million. And then how do they going to finance the difference? They are going to take from unspent funds. That we only Parliament always have this unspent fund. As I alluded that, according to the Financial Management of Parliament Act, they are not surrendering funds to the National Revenue Fund. They just retain those funds and become their savings. So they always use those funds in order to defray that difference. Now, the thing is that those funds have exhausted now. There are no funds. As I alluded before, your office of PPO or whatever, they also depend on those funds. Now, they don't have any funds, real cash, in terms of to finance this particular spending, which is a transfer to program party funding. That's the understanding. Then now they have to get money to finance the difference, which is this. The difference, I think it's 15 million, but I don't know what they're going to get, 2 million. But they say they're going to get 30 million from the unspent funds, from compensation of employees. That was unspent, the commission, to finance that difference that exists in the transfers of political party funding. But I think the question is still relevant, when you say that when you budget, why are you budgeting a man that you know that you don't have? Where do you think you are going to get this money before?
Thank you, Content Advisor. Mr. Fagiso, you want to respond to any of the issues raised?
No. Yeah. I forgot to mention that Parliament is also moving funds and shift funds and do environments, but they are not reporting on that in terms of shifting funds. Because you recall that all the funds that are in the programs are approved by Parliament. But whenever, whoever wants to move the funds, if it exceeds, according to the PFMA, not that PFMA, if it exceeds 8%, it should come back to Parliament. It must be reported so that it can be approved. Parliament, it just shifts funds, but they don't report on those shifts of funds. That's the point that I forgot to mention.
Thanks very much for those responses responding to the issues that members have raised. As indicated at the beginning of this meeting, the purpose of this meeting is to prepare us for our engagement next week with the leadership, the management of the institution. I want to believe that the issues that have been raised have actually prepared us for that meeting, and all of us have taken note of the issues that we need to once again raise them sharply in our next meeting. The issues, as alluded to, of zero-based budgeting, I think as it has been alluded to, they need to explain why do we have these problems if indeed there is this zero-based budgeting related to the issue of compensation of employees, the issues of accrual system that apparently is not in place, issues of performance contracts not being signed, which then raises a question as to how do you then measure performance of employees, which ultimately has to impact on the performance of the institution, of the whole organization. Issues of the political party funding, and I think the issue that has just been raised as to why do we budget for money that we know we do not have. What is the explanation on this? And also just to make sure that at the end of the day, especially when it comes to the legacy report, we should be able to track all the resolutions that we have taken in the past, and so that as we finalize that legacy report, we should flag those resolutions and be able to have them captured in such a way that the sixth parliament is able to build on those resolutions so that they don't have to reinvent the wheel. They should be able to say these are the resolutions, obviously, that we have identified based on the challenges, and as sixth parliament, we need to make sure that those resolutions are indeed implemented. The issues of Treasury Office and reporting on violence, which has not been happening, are issues that we should be able to take up in our meeting with management next week. As I was saying, this the purpose was to make sure that we are ready for the engagement that we need to have next week. Before we move closer towards wrapping up, are there other issues? I see the hand of Honorable Steenhuisen.
Chairperson, thank you. It's not part of this report, but it does impact on the report, and it's something this committee has been asking for a long time. And I wondered if we couldn't ask management to please come with some form of update on where we sit with the Secretary to Parliament. We're about to close off now, and I think we need to include in our legacy report.
Yes.
This matter has been outstanding for almost a full year that the man's been at home earning a salary, and we need to start moving to some finality on it, and we've got to say something about it in the legacy report, and therefore I think they need to give us at least some update. They don't have to give us blow by blow, but I think we need to have some understanding about where that process sits.
I think it's a fair point. Not that the matter has been outstanding, the matter has been going on for quite some time, and we need to be updated as to how far the process is. Because, yes, indeed, the matter should be wrapped up as soon as possible so that we're able to have an institution that is able to operate optimally. Any other issue? Colleagues, the discussions that we have had was in terms of item called discussion on the agenda. The next item is called closure. So, without much ado, may I move to that particular item and thank all of you for your attendance, for your participation, including the support team for the briefing and for really making sure that we have got this very fruitful meeting. With those words, may I once again, on behalf of my co-chair, who is not feeling very, very well, close this meeting. Thank you very much. Sure. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, but you're going to confirm the times, ne?
After Thursday's programming meeting.
Is it going to be after?
Thursday's programming, so after the meeting we'll know.
Okay, sure. Yeah, please, I'll communicate.
Let's come sharp.
There's nothing now. The same, the same, the same. And still, you are not here to see.
Must ask one of those people.